What's up, everyone? Really exciting episode of Coaches to the Moon today. We're doing a bunch of stuff we've never done before, stuff we haven't dug into before, including our very first live Oracle deck card pull. What does that mean? Something that I didn't know the answer to before today's podcast, but also very, very exciting. We kind of dug into a bit of spirituality today because my guest, Emma Kovach, a wealth embodiment coach, a good friend of mine, is so well-versed in such a broad range of the coaching space, everything from social media strategy all the way to removing and releasing people's deepest traumas and blocks that hold them back from success. We've got it all on this show today. We pulled the card, we dug into what that means to me, kind of had like a live, vulnerable coaching session, which was so much fun. Then we dug into a great discussion about affirmations, manifestation, law of attraction, and how to actually embody that successful person, even if you don't feel like it's always true, how to get past that blockage in your own life as well. And then we dug into a little bit of ads, a little bit of organic social media at the end. Really great fun, just a beautiful, beautiful podcast. We had some tech issues with this one, so we're on Zoom rather than our normal studio, but I think the audio and the video is still, you know, good enough to get the points across. Emma is a superstar, so here she is, everybody. Really hope you enjoy it. Emma Kovach on Coaches to the Moon.
This is Coaches to the Moon, the only podcast you need to skyrocket your coaching business and create true impact on the world. Here's your host, Alex Morris.
Welcome back to Coaches to the Moon. Ladies and gentlemen, my guest today has been a hassle to get on. We have dealt with cyclones and floods to get here today, but we have persevered and we are proud to bring to you wealth embodiment coach and good friend of mine, Emma Kovach, straight out of Mackay, Queensland, where I hope the weather has calmed down a little bit for you. Emma, thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's great to connect with you again. And yes, so far the roof is still holding up, though we did have quite torrential rain last night and I was a little bit worried about today, but here we are.
Got there in the end, nothing stops us. And as you said this morning, you have pulled out of your deck a water dragon card, which helps you to flow around hardships, that sort of thing.
Absolutely.
Hectic. I don't really understand that pulling a card stuff. What is it? Is that Oracle decks? Is that what they call it?
Yes, we have Oracle decks. So they're pretty cool. They're a little bit woo-woo. They're not for everyone, but they have definitely helped me. And so there's actually a woo-woo way to think about cards, but even if you're not woo-woo, you could probably find them useful. Because they just help you to, like, they prompt you to think about things in a different way and they prompt you to find solutions that you might not have otherwise thought of.
I love that.
So, like, people just create these. Like, there is no right or wrong way to do them. But, for example, I've got this Gratitude Oracle Guidebook deck.
Okay.
And so this deck is specifically around helping you to cultivate gratitude. So you might have like a challenge in life, or you might just want something that you want a little bit of insight around. So what you could do is you could grab one of these decks of cards, shuffle it, and whenever you feel stop, or the deck might fall apart, or a card might slip out, or you might drop a card. So they say it works on the law of attraction, but also it's about cultivating your intuition and trusting yourself. So it helps with all of that. And so then you know, you just know where to stop, or the card just sticks out and you just go, yep, that's the one. And for example, I've just pulled this card out now. Just imagine, Alex, that you might be having a challenge in business, for example, because we all have them, right? And this card prompts you to cultivate gratitude for stability. So then you could go to the guidebook. Anyone can use them. It doesn't take any special type of skill. 37, card number 37, and it will have a whole blurb in here that will, it's got an affirmation. I lovingly create stability in my life and am grateful for how this makes me feel, which then you will then go and reflect, well, where do I have stability? Where am I lacking stability? And you'll just get all of these little insights around things that you wouldn't otherwise have been able to, because, you know, those questions are so helpful in prompting you to delve into the subconscious mind and pull out all of this information that you otherwise wouldn't be conscious of. So they're a tool to learn about yourself and how to use what's going on within you to navigate your journey. Did that make sense?
It really does. And I like the way that, you know, because I make no claims to be much of a spiritual person or into any of this stuff that you so nicely said was woo-woo. I would never use that term, but I love it. But I like the way that you said it. It just makes you think about stuff. So let's do this if you're into it, Emma. Let's do a live card pull for me. It'll be my first live card pull, and it is something that had you not explained it that way, I would indeed be a little skeptical, but I'm very interested to see what comes out. Great.
Love to.
Let's see if it
all
works.
Right, let's
virtually.
This gratitude oracle guidebook.
Okay.
And if it's okay with you, I'd also like to quickly follow that up with a card pull for the collective. So that means that it will be relevant to anybody that's listening in. Is that okay?
Yeah, it's fine. Is this something that you're really into? Is this a path you're good to pursue on the podcast for a bit, because I know we've just jumped deep into it.
Hello. Right. So this is something that I use in my coaching a lot, because it helps me with my clients as well. It helps me to give them insights.
Mm-hmm.
Also to understand them. And also, like, I actually feel supported in my coaching sessions, because I feel, well, I have a lot of faith and trust in something working outside of my own personal power to help us.
Mm.
So that means that, like, some people call that, like, the universe, God, spirit, the greater consciousness, like your spiritual team. So when I've really, like, been drawn into coaching because of the way that spirituality, consciousness and energetics actually coincide, and that's the area in which I work with my clients in, and that's how I actually help them get the change.
Mm.
So these are definitely tools that have added a lot of value, and I lean on them a lot. So Alex, is there anything that you're wanting help with right now? Is there anything that is jumping out to you, like maybe a situation in life or business or family? Like, is there anything you want insight with?
Interesting. All right, let's go personal. We've got one of our daughters is having some very big feelings on a very regular basis at the moment, and sometimes it gets to the point where we're not entirely sure how to deal with it rationally anymore. So let's talk about that.
Okay, well, that's really interesting, because as I asked you that question before you even gave me the answer, this is the card that jumped out of the deck for you, and it flew out of the deck.
Right.
And so whenever it falls out of the deck, or it, like, literally leapt out of the deck, okay, so that is a strong indication to me that this is a message that you need to hear right now.
Okay.
So you got the card Grace. So your affirmation is, I handle situations with grace and gratitude. And so there's a lot in here that I could read out to you right now, and I'll happily send you a photo of this. But just for the sake of people listening in, I'll just give you the shortened version.
Sure.
So, and just, like, just listen openly. And whatever messages come to you while I'm reading this, Just trust it. Grace is handling events with sophistication and elegance. Grace compels you to trust in God or higher power. You can be gracious to those who have caused you pain. Forgiving yourself or another is an act of grace. Remaining tranquil and settled when you are in emotional turmoil or a stressful situation allows you to enter a state of grace. So what does that mean to you? Why do you think you got this card, Alex?
Well, why do I think I got that card? Assuming that all of this is working the way it should, and not that from the open-minded side of me says, I would make sense that I have that a tantrum from a three-year-old, an aggressive tantrum, is super duper stressful, especially when there's another three-year-old in the room. He gets really upset by that one happening. So it is definitely an emotionally tumultuous situation. Like it said, very stressful. And sometimes we do handle it very calmly, which is tricky, and it ultimately works out better. And sometimes, as I'm sure you know, because you have young children, Emma, you don't always handle things the best. and you feel like the biggest piece of shit after you do that as well. So forgiving yourself, forgiving the child, forgiving your partner who maybe has all of the three of you have not done that perfectly, and also knowing that the kid's doing nothing wrong is pretty huge as well. The graceful way of handling that, is calmly and, tough to go to the gratitude space, but you always do, don't you? Well, once everything's calmed down, you always go back into love mode pretty, almost stronger than before.
Yeah, absolutely. And so one of the things that stood out for me in that message was trusting in a higher power. Mm-hmm. Now, you don't have to be religious for this, but you just have to understand that every challenge or every problem is actually working for you. And so I wonder whether when in that moment you're feeling really overwhelmed, really stressed, and you're triggered, like we all do it, like parenting is one of the most triggering things that anyone can go through, right? Yeah. But the thing is, when we're triggered, what's actually happening is it's showing us a deeper part of ourselves where we've fallen out of faith that things will continue in a positive way. So underneath that stress and that trigger, for when we're, as a parent, I'll talk about myself, when my kids are having a massive tantrum and then I need to join them in it because I can't contain myself anymore, the reason why I'm triggered isn't because of what's happening on the surface level. It's not because of the tantrum. It's not because of my rage. My rage is there because underneath that, there's feelings of insecurity. Am I being a good enough parent? Are my children going to grow out of this? Am I giving them the lessons they need? Am I showing up for them fully? Am I effing this up, really? And that's why it's so stressful for us. That's why we're triggered. And the thing that I've found working with my clients is that it always comes down to shame. Now, this is a huge thing that I help people with. It's overcoming this shame and this doubt that is deep within themselves. And this is the core root that I've found working with hundreds of clients now all around the world for the last 3 years. I've found in every single instance when somebody is triggered, when you really unpack that, underneath it, there is feelings of, I'm not enough. I won't succeed. I'm going to fail. And so the reason why we have the trigger, the reason why we focus on the anger or the somebody's done something wrong to us or this situation is really stressful or there's this problem happening in my business, it's because it's much safer to focus on those things rather than to walk around embodied in, oh, I'm actually worthless. I'm probably going to F this up. I've always effed up everything in my life, or it's not meant for me. It's meant for someone else, because deep down we're all walking around with this unconscious, unprocessed shame that we've had since we were kids. Did that make sense?
Yeah, wow. You're really great at this, Emma. You're really great at this, far out. Where did you get the, well, firstly, thank you. Thank you for those insights. Incredible. And there's definitely, I mean, we always draw the link between parenting and business on this channel. We're always doing it when we speak with parents. And yeah, like those stressful situations when you're having a bad cash flow week or anything, it's not, oh my God, I don't have money for this bill this week. It is, you know, you extrapolate and catastrophize what's going to happen if this continues. It's not about the stress in the moment, really, is it? It's about, you know, what could happen. And then if that I fail doing that, what am I going to do? And then how is that going to make me feel? And then people are going to, you know, think I'm a failure. Dad won't be proud of me, all that Absolutely. Sort of thing. So,
yeah, and we're walking around on unconscious programming that's keeping us stuck, and it's making us show up from a familiar past instead of arriving as a new identity in what we want to create in the future. And so the only way in which we can do that is by going into the subconscious mind and into ourselves at a deep subconscious energetic level and creating embodied change, so that instead of walking around with these deep-seated insecurities that we're not even actually aware of but show up anytime that we're triggered, there's a hint there, there's a clue there, right? So what we can do is we can transmute that. So that's really, really quick and easy to do. It can actually happen instantly. So that is the power of working directly with the subconscious mind. So let me help you understand a little bit deeper. Now, it'll be hard for people listening in, so I'll just explain exactly what I'm doing. Right now, I am holding a beautiful candle in my hand, right? And I'm holding my palm over the top of the candle, okay? So my hand over the top of the candle is actually the lid that's preventing all of this wax to spill out all over me, right? It's like the cap. Now, the cap is the trigger. It's the what we focus on. So imagine you're having like, imagine like you've had like three months where you've had way more expenses than incomings. And your business is starting to dwindle, like your funds are starting to dwindle, and the things that usually work aren't working anymore, and you're feeling overwhelmed, and you look at your bank account and you see that it's almost approached negative, or it's in an uncomfortable position. And so for you, what that might look like is frustration. So especially men, they will go straight to frustration and anger. Women usually bypass this and they go straight to sadness. So men, they'll look at it and they'll be like, this is effed up. Like, I can't believe this is happening to me. I've done all of this work. So-and-so's let me down. Rah, 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 rah. Like, they'll go into frustration and anger. Women will go into sadness. They'll be like, oh, I can't believe this is happening to me. Like, after all I've done, like, it's just not fair, right? They'll go into sadness. But underneath that is what's really inside the candle. That is just the cap. But if we didn't have that, right, if we didn't have that trigger, we would have to deal with what the deeper, murkier stuff is in here. So this is the stuff that if we're walking around conscious of, so in our immediate awareness, we would no longer be safe. So our unconscious mind, which primary directive is to keep us safe, gives us other stuff to focus on. It even creates problems. Like, we go around unconsciously creating things and setting things up so that we have problems, so that we have a distraction and we're not focused on what's in here. So, because if we didn't have the cap on the bottle, if we didn't have the cap on the candle, then all of this deeper stuff would come spewing out. The hot wax would be all over me, right? And I would be burnt. I would actually probably be thinking about maybe self-harm, or just blowing the business up, or packing it all in, or leaving the relationship, right? So we have these problems to keep us safe from what's in here. But it doesn't mean that what's in the jar or the candle isn't impacting us. It's what's actually creating this. So in order to overcome these problems, in order to release the triggers so that we can have more ease, more flow, more presence, more faith, more connection with who we truly are, arriving as ourselves, we've just got to unpack this stuff and transmute it. So it becomes our power. Our pain becomes our power. So imagine, this is a process that I take my clients through.
Give me the process in one second. Because
yeah, sure.
This is awesome. Really, really good. Like, I'm blown away. And just to make sure I am getting the analogy perfectly, that when we get triggered, emotional, you know, when we sabotage things, we're doing that to avoid going deeper to the really uncomfortable stuff we don't want to have to face. Is that all we're doing? We're just procrastinating, basically, just diverting our attention away from what we know or maybe don't know will actually help us. And we're just focusing on the easier, in the moment, the easiest thing to do is just, yeah, have your own little tantrum. Is that right?
Absolutely. So, Alex, for you, what do you think is more difficult to hold? Is it anger? Is it easier to hold anger? Like, is it heavier or lighter? Is anger heavier or lighter than fear?
Wow. I don't know. I think for me, anger is a much more fleeting emotion. And then if you're fearful of, like, you know, when you do have that awful cash flow month or whatever, and you're fearful, that one simmers lower but for longer. It's kind of like a small candle versus a bonfire for me. So I'm not sure.
I don't know about you, but I almost enjoy being angry.
You do, don't you? I get it.
Yeah. So what about feelings like guilt or shame? Or embarrassment? What would you rather be, embarrassed or pissed off?
Oh, pissed
off. Funny question.
Yeah.
Right. So that's because the feeling of anger is much easier to hold than feelings of embarrassment or shame. So it's also because, yeah. And so to access those feelings of embarrassment, guilt and shame, what we actually have to do is release what's on top. So it's anger, then sadness, then fear, then hurt, then guilt, then shame and embarrassment. So when you, if like, you know, the reason why this card asked you to compel you to trust in a higher power, right? So what actually came through for me with that was when you have faith that things are working out for you, when you actually transmute those layers. And so if instead of like, oh, am I going to F this up? Like, I'm just, I'm not doing what I need to be doing. What would you have instead? You might have, I'm an amazing parent. Like I am the best dad ever. Like my kids are so lucky to have me. And inside you're walking around with this subconscious programming of I'm incredibly valuable. And so then instead of, say, fear, oh, I don't know if they're going to, like, learn the lesson they need to learn. Like, are they going to turn out okay? I don't know. You would have, like, of course they are, right, because they've got me. And then instead of frustration, like, it just wouldn't be there, you know. So this is work that we continually do, and how it relates back to here.
Yeah.
Is that when you are fully embodied in your worth and your value, then you are connected to a higher power. You have more faith.
Yeah.
You're actually outside of your ego and your pain body, and now you're working more in connection with Source or the universe or God. Now, I'm not sure if that makes sense.
No, it does. It does make sense. And we get to come to one of my favorite parts of the podcast, where I get to raise up my little challenge stick and poke a few holes that I think, and then you can refill them for me. So the whole concept of, like, the trust and the law of attraction thing, and then embodying the person you want to be rather than the person that you're currently in, you know. So in a moment where you're being a shitty parent and you're thinking, no, I'm a great parent. Or when you are, you hear the stories of all the time of people who are just dead broke, you know, and then there's, I am, you know, the world champion in this, like Conor McGregor, the fighter, a very, very famous example of, like, he was completely dead broke, but in his mind, I am the world champion of the UFC without a doubt. And I'm going to be driving Bentleys down, you know, Sunset Strip in Los Angeles, that sort of thing. And then, like, 7 years later, he's the highest paid athlete on the planet, and he owes it all to that. Now, I've done all that stuff as well, a little, you know, when I was in not so fun situations a few years back. And I feel there's a real sort of dissonance between what you're trying to make yourself think and then your brain saying, that's bullshit, Alex. You're not, you know, this wealthy, successful person. You're all washing dishes, you know. And that sort of cognitive dissonance, or kind of that almost feels inauthentic, I think that could be a really big reason to actually keep people where they're at, because they don't actually believe what they're saying to themselves. So that's the only issue I have with it, but I know that there's probably an answer for it.
Yeah. So your question is around when you want to arrive as the next version of yourself, but there's no evidence to support that you're actually there already, right? Is that what you mean?
You know, and like, so the things where, you know, you write down on a piece of paper, like, you know, Jim Carrey has he wrote the check for himself for $10 million and put it in, walked around with it in his wallet, you know, for years before he got his first $10 million paycheck. Or all the stuff from The Secret, the law of attraction stuff, that I'm so happy and grateful that money comes to me in increasing quantity on a regular basis, even though you know that that's not true right now. Is it? Like, at what point are you helping yourself, and at what point are you just sort of lying to yourself? What's the difference, I suppose, between being disillusioned or not deluded, sorry, and attracting things, I suppose?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. So what I've found is that whenever you have, you know, doubt around, is this actually me showing up authentically? Like, when did you know, by the way, when you actually affirm something, so you say an affirmation,
yeah,
but your body tells you it's not true. there'll be like tension. You'll actually be holding unconscious tension. Like if I said, I am an overnight billionaire. I am an overnight billionaire, yeah. Right? Somewhere inside me, like my energy and my body and my physiology, there is something that is telling me that's actually not congruent with the truth.
Yeah.
So what we're actually doing in that is we're reaffirming to the universe that we are not overnight billionaires. Mm-hmm. So the way in which I help my clients is that we actually look to see what's happening inside them and work within the growth zone and not like the panic zone. Not the, if somebody came to see me tomorrow and they were at 5K months in their business, but they wanted to have like a seven-figure business in the next 12 months, the first thing that I would tell them was that was probably unrealistic.
Yeah.
And while all things are possible, let's actually work with them, their physiology, because if you are walking around in something that's not authentic, if you're not fully embodied in, yeah, like, so there's like different zones. I'm having a little bit of trouble answering your question, aren't I?
It's great. And I think you're spot on. You know, if where you're going is, you know, set yourself realistic goals,
yeah,
and milestones, rather than,
yeah,
you know, write yourself, yeah, a $1 million check when there's really no way of you getting there in the next few years, realistically. What I've learned is that in this coaching space, you know, you come into it and you see all this bullshit on Instagram of like, you know, here's how I made, you know, seven figures in e-commerce at age 24 and they're on a jet and all this nonsense. And you start to say, okay, that's my goal. But right now you're washing dishes in a restaurant, which I've done many, many times. The distance between where you're at and that goal, that's what makes you so unhappy. But the distance, but if the thing is, okay, can I just replace, you know, can I just replace my current income with a business that I like? That's way more of a realistic goal. And as you start to maybe make $1,000 a month or $2,000 a month doing that, you're ticking off those goals and you can start to believe you're moving in the right direction. But if you follow the advice of Mr. Law of Attraction on the internet, who just says like, I am a millionaire, then it just, the distance between where you're at and that goal has always made me feel bad. it's just too big, you know?
Yeah.
So I think
so. There's something
really great.
There's something else that helps speed it up as well. And when you understand the psychology of how we actually view the world and how that impacts how we arrive in our actions. So what actually happens is, imagine at any given second, there are 2.8 million bits of information ready to be perceived by the human mind. So at any given second, there is 2.8 million bits of information coming in. And so like, there's so much that we're not aware of.
Yeah.
What we can only actually perceive and form a perception with is 264 bits per second of this 2.4 million bits. So that means that, like, are you aware of the temperature of your left pinky toe?
I am now.
Yes. But imagine though you weren't, right? There's so much in our environment that is actually filtered out, distorted, or deleted before we form a perception of what's actually happening.
Mm.
And so what actually makes it through depends on your unique filter. So what actually makes it through depends on your past experiences. It depends on your belief systems. It depends on your mood. And there's a couple of other things like language and education. But say, for example, right, maybe somebody's having a challenge in their business, maybe like their tech wouldn't work. And so now, and if they have the subconscious programming that I'm worthless and I always F everything up and this business thing isn't actually meant for me, what are they going to perceive in that? They're going to arrive at the perception that things are working against them and that they're not going to work it. They're going to not come across professional, or do you know what I mean? Like they're going to perceive it to be working against them.
Yep. Yeah.
But if somebody had the belief system and that things always were working out for them, that they were capable, that they absolutely were going to hit their goals because that's the type of person they are, and they arrived and had a tech issue, their perception would be something completely different. It would be, you know, what could it be, do you think? It could be...
Oh, well, to be honest, I think that, yeah, the more confident you are in yourself, the less these things matter. You know, like you and me on this podcast, for example, we know it's going to be a good conversation, so it doesn't really matter if we do it on Zoom or on a crystal clear podcasting studio. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't ever do this again, because we both know that it's, in the scheme of things, it really doesn't matter that much. Or if you post a video that, you know, I posted a video yesterday that did super well, post a video today that is bombing, absolutely bombing, and I don't care.
So you see evidence to support your belief systems.
Yeah.
So that means, to answer your question, how do you actually arrive authentically in an identity that you haven't fully seen the evidence of in your environment? Well, if you are seeing more evidence against the fact that you aren't deserving of that reality, it just means that you're just missing it. There's 264 bits, but you're only focusing on the 264 bits that prove that you're not worthy of it. Does that make sense?
That makes 100% sense. Emma Kovac, that's amazing. Really, really, like, that was a freaking long journey and we got to that point and that was amazing. You're so good at this. I'm hearing heaps of, like, terminology, like distort and delete and filters. And is this, I think I heard this all, like, in NLP training, like, years ago. Is this NLP stuff you're doing?
Yes.
Yeah. Really, really helpful, because in this coaching space, everyone's done like an NLP master practitioner course, and like 90% of people just forget it, myself included. But it's obvious that you've taken these sorts of modalities and knowledge and you're actually really confident with it, which is awesome, because it is the kind of thing that when you say something and it clicks with someone, it can change the course of their day or their year just because of like a couple of things that you've said. Incredible.
Yeah, absolutely, completely. And I love using multiple modalities and just taking the best bits, because there's so much. There's like energy healing, hypnotherapy, NLP, like there is like so many different self-healing modalities. And so there's a lot of stuff that works and there's a lot of stuff that's outdated.
Right.
So what I do with my clients is that I just take the best bits from those healing modalities and I customize it to meet my client where they're at, so that they get to evolve faster, that they get to get the results quicker, and that they get to feel embodied and arrive embodied in the next version of who they need to be to hold the thing that they're trying to hold quicker. Like, it can happen so fast.
Yeah.
Like, I had this client, right, my beautiful client, Lani, and I have her permission, thank you, Lani, to shout her successes, which are absolutely phenomenal, and she came to see me in person for an in-person VIP day.
Yep.
And, oh, like, so much could have stopped us from having that day. Now, this is a woman that has had a lot of success in the past. Like, she's run successful companies and businesses and built them to seven figures previously. But then some stuff happened, as it does. Problems arose. Things came up. And she was no longer in business. And she didn't have the confidence to actually jump back in, take the bull by the horns. She really just needed somebody to tell her that, yes, she could, give her permission to go for it and remind her of how powerful she was. So she came to see me in person, and what I facilitated with her was a very, very deep healing and unraveling of the subconscious blocks and trauma that had taken her from successful seven-figure business owner to, like, struggling. And so in that one single day, after 12 months of not – of struggle, right, of struggle, I don't want to go too far into it, but – she then went on after seeing me in this one session, and she secured over $1.5 million in contracts. And she's actually now just messaged me to let me know that she has had a real estate option come through, and that's $250,000 profit as well. So this is a woman who was, like, really down to the last bits and had lost her hope and just was out of touch with how powerful she was. And she was starting to listen to the doubters, and she was starting to feel like, oh, maybe I should just show up and play small. And she just needed that reminder. But it's not just a conscious reminder. It's going in and changing the unconscious programming, healing the trauma that prevented her from stepping out there and doing it herself. So that was really amazing. That's an amazing for Lani. Yeah.
Hats off, Lani. Yeah, and you're right. I mean, you can't have every not everyone who walks in and has this shift in mindset in one day goes out and does $1.5 million. That's because she had the skills, and it is like a lot of the coaching industry annoys me a bit because they focus too much on one side or the other. But I think all of this, like yourself, you do a lot of business coaching, but today we've talked nothing about business coaching at all, although you know how to run a good business, you know? And so, because I know the challenges you run, and you actually have some social media strategies in there, that sort of thing, that work well. But everything you're talking about today, for someone who maybe has business knowledge or some skill, but it's not working, everything you're saying today is hugely important. But then you get the other side of people who maybe they do all the stuff, all the personal development stuff, but they don't have any strategy and they need that. Just this
content.
And the coaching space seems to be like, is this way or that way? And so what I'm getting to, Emma, is that I really appreciate the fact that you are not hard lined down, this is the only way to do things, and that you've studied and clearly, like, really mastered all these topics so that you can pick and choose what your client needs in that moment. So really impressive stuff, dude. I think, I'm just having a very impressive podcast today. Where sometimes I'm like, this person's fluffing around. Yeah. Sometimes I think this person's fluffing around a little bit. They're talking a big game, but you're, there's been a few mind-blowing moments in this show already. I don't even know how long we've been going for. How long it doesn't even say on Zoom. Yeah, how long we've been recording for? I think it's like 45 minutes or so. So yourself, I know, because we're on a roll here, you actually had you posted a status the other day, like, from nearly homeless to something, to, like, homeowners with a good income, whatever. Congrats.
Yeah, claiming European holiday. holiday.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And I know a holiday with four people is really fucking expensive, Emma.
Again, 80 days.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, my sister.
And thank you so much, Alex, because you really helped me get to this point too. Because while I have the internal tools to help people change, and I do have strategies that work, you also showed me a different strategy, which was incredible, which then resulted in me being able to receive a $40,000 cash injection. And you were so masterful in teaching me that with ads and just really taking me under your wing. And your team is so professional. Like, I just felt really cared for, and it was just really professional. And I definitely would recommend to my clients to come and see you when they're at the point ready to scale into ads. So, because I help people with the organic strategy, like, that's really good, right? And I do believe personally that you do need that till you're at least at around $10,000 months. Do you think, would you agree with that?
I would very much agree with that, because not only does it cost money to do paid marketing, but also you need the organic strategy to figure out who you are, what's your offer, what are you selling, what is your audience like. Too often, maybe people start switching on ads when they're really just building the business and they're kind of figuring it out as they go. And it's too early. It's a waste, because you might find that you run ads to a particular niche or demographic or offer that just turns out to be a real dud. And if you just got away and done that organically, yeah, you would have spent some time on it, but it wouldn't have been nearly as much of an investment. And that sort of thing, if people, you know, start the coaching business and then go straight into feeding money into Ads Manager and the softwares and all the tech and all the nightmares that comes along with it, it can be very disheartening. Whereas getting some organic wins on the board and then building a small but, you know, exciting following can be huge. I'm actually going the other direction right now. I'm focusing back on organic for the first time in like 4 years, whereas I completely just didn't do it for ages. So yeah, it's really interesting. I completely agree. I think 10 grand a month is a really good spot to start investing.
Yeah,
that's when you get the choice. You can scale from that point and say, okay, let's go and find some more people who haven't seen me before. And get out of the world.
Like, when you're scaling, you're amplifying. So whatever you've got, you're making more of, right? So if you've got lots of problems in your business, and it might be a messaging thing, it might be a marketing thing, it might be an offer thing, it might be even a back-end thing. So when you scale, those problems just get bigger.
Yeah.
So why have you decided to move back into organic marketing?
I think I've got time to do it now, for one thing. I think that so we're still running, you know, lots of ads, but I think that now I have a team who does a lot of my delivery, a lot of my sales, which is amazing. And now that I kind of realize that the clients who are sometimes, not always, the best clients who stick with us for the longest are just people who have approached me on social media after seeing my stuff. And it's the most, you know, tight-knit, the referral-based, the word-of-mouth clients that come from organic social media, they're always just yourself accepted because you actually came through ads. They're always amazing. They always stick with you for just forever, and just it's a great relationship. And 95% of our headaches come from people who have met us through ads, but we still love them as well. We love headaches sometimes. And organic, I think I've got some time to, just develop the personal brand a bit more, become a bit more of an ambassador for the business rather than just day-to-day, like in the back end, because I've got an amazing team, like you mentioned, who can handle that stuff for me. And I really enjoyed making just slightly entertaining, tongue-in-cheek stuff as well. It kind of lets me get my personality out there a bit as well, which you can't really do.
Yeah.
In this very serious kind of online business space, everyone's like showing off all their bullshit wins. Like, I think that I like to go in and shake it up a little bit. So I just enjoy it as well. I've just never really had the time. Lots of answers.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Well.
Well, thanks. Thanks for interviewing me today on the podcast, Emma. But no, honestly, I do see when people like yourself, I know a few of my friends like Mel and Miranda, these people, they've got just incredible organic followings, and they'll say jump and the audience says like how high, you know, every time they make an offer, it's just like comments galore and people just getting in on it. I've never had that. I've never pursued having that, but I think, just having, you've got that, right? Like, you're building that now. It's amazing.
Yeah. Actually, it's interesting you mentioned Mel's name, because I was just about to say that I heard Melanie say something really incredible about organic marketing yesterday. And what she's identified is that people that do organic marketing really well is that they have something that is more valuable than anything that you can actually create, I think. Like, it is having a tribe. It's having it's having a tribe of people that celebrate you. Like, there's a network and a community and a culture, right? And so that can only come through in an organic way. I don't think that you can create ads that are going to just give you a culture, but it's what happens after that. Like,
yeah.
How do you actually look after them organically? How do you nurture those relationships? And how do you nurture the building of relationships between people inside your community? There's another woman, Melanie Ann Layer. She has built her coaching business to $70 million inside 4 years, completely organically. And so the reason why she has such a powerful brand is because she has that, and she does that masterfully. It's because she's now like the leader of this community. It's just snowball. It's like, it's in momentum. It's building on its own, you know. It's a culture. That's worth millions when you can create that.
Look at Taylor Swift, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Rock bands have it. Movie franchises have it. Even some like restaurant chains have it, just their fan base who will just talk about them and follow their hashtags and go in their groups and buy their stuff and just support them in whatever happens. And I think it's a really cool place to get to as a business. Plus, it's just a lot of fun. There's a bit of levity and fun in organic content, I think, in just like chatting to people. Hence the podcast. We've never signed a client from the podcast. We've never made a dollar from the podcast, but we are 150 episodes in. We've got a second one now, and it's just a freaking laugh as well, Emma. And that's what we've had today, I think. I think that this was not the show I was expecting. How about you?
But didn't have any expectations.
Good way to go in. That's how we like it, and I think it's just gone phenomenally well, and I'm so glad that after lots of storm related tech issues last week and then some inexplicable, you know, pixel demons not letting us get to work today on our usual recording platform, we hopped on Zoom. We're on your phone, your laptop stopped working or something like that. And then here we are, Emma and I, and you've just absolutely brought the fire today, Emma. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much for having me. And very, very quickly, the card for the viewers is security. So I don't know why that's coming up, but just ask yourself, Like, why is that coming up for you, do you think? How can you be more grateful for security in your life? Thank you so much, Alex. This is so much fun.
So much fun. We love the podcast, and we love you for being on. And we're just going to post all the relevant links and everything that people need to get amongst Emma's stuff in and around the show, wherever you are watching or listening. Emma's got Facebook groups, she's got challenges, she's got the Embodied Wealth Program, she's got retreats. There's just nothing this woman can't do except for get a working laptop to connect to the internet.
I'm also bad at cooking.
Are you? No, I bet you're not.
Very bad.
Yeah, well, my wife's not great at cooking either. It happens. It happens. It's a new world. It's a new world. You're too busy out there changing the freaking game, Emma. No time for salmon.
Yeah.
We're all about change. Thank you so much for being on today, legend. You're amazing. Anyone listening, I'll be back next week with an episode or two of Coaches to the Moon. Until then, thank you so much for listening. Much love and peace out.
Hey guys, I really hope you enjoyed today's episode. Thank you so much for sticking around to the end. If you love our guests, then in the show notes of this episode, you can find their socials, you can follow them, you can learn more about all the free resources and programs they've got. I highly recommend you do it. Until then, thank you so much. I'll be back here next week with Coaches to the Moon. Have an amazing day. Peace out.
Coaches to the Moon will be back next week. Until then, reach us on Facebook at To The Moon Digital Marketing.